two times, sometimes three times. Each Sunday, it's a challenge to rewrite a half an hour sermon to 10 minutes. So let me try and do that. We've talked the past couple of weeks about dealing with uncertainty and how we do that. And I want to conclude my series today by talking about Jonah. For many of us, Jonah is a story that we saw in a children's Bible about a giant fish that came along and swallowed him up and then spit him on the beach. And that's pretty much what we took out of it. Because there's something novel about being inside the belly of a fish. Jonah is a very serious story, however, because Jonah is really about a man who's wrestling with his God and about how to deal with your world when it turns upside down. In Jonah chapter 1, the Bible sets the story for us when it tells us this. If you put up the words for me, Linda. That's Jonah chapter 2. Jonah chapter 1, I can read it from my Bible while you're getting it. Here's what it says. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, go to the great city Nineveh and preach against it, because the wickedness of its people has come up before me. It doesn't tell us why the wickedness of its people had come up before him. Satan could have come along bragging about it. Or the prayers of God's people, or the prayers of Nineveh could have come up before him. Because when there's a great wickedness, it means there's a lot of hurt and pain. So there may have been a lot of people praying to God because they were in a lot of pain. And so it says, all of that's come up before me, but it says, but Jonah ran away from, and I need you to get this. I realize it's not on the screen. I need you to get this. Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed to Tarshish. I need you and I to understand something really important today. When we get into the middle of a troubled time, we have a hard time listening. Because what we want to do when we enter trouble is respond. We want to do something. When there's trouble, we want to respond to it. Jonah, God came to Jonah. And Jonah, in response to God coming, in response to the King of the universe speaking to him, ran away. And it doesn't say he ran away from the assignment God gave him. It says he ran away from God. Now, from an objective point of view, sitting in the pew, it's ridiculous to think about actually running away from God, because you can't run away from God, can you? We try. People still try. But you can't run away from God. But this is a critical piece that we need to understand. And it took me a long time, and I had one of those duh moments about 10 years ago that I'm still not sure I completely have gotten this lesson, but here's how I got it. When I lived in Hagerstown serving a different church, living in a different house, my wife had to get up really early in the morning and commute to College Park where she was working on her master's degree. She would come to me from time to time and tell me that the porch light was burned out. I put it on my to-do list, which had 100 things on it, and promptly, often, forgot about it. Is there a man that can give me an amen to that?
Amen.
One day, my wife sat me down after repeatedly asking me to change the porch light. By the way, changing the porch light involves walking out, unscrewing the bulb, and screwing in a new one. Not rocket science. And this is what she said to me. I have to leave the house at 5 o'clock in the morning when it's still dark. I do not always feel safe stepping outside the house into my car when there's no light on. Would you please change the porch light? It will make me feel safe. All of a sudden, the light went on inside of me that went, oh, this is not just fix the gutter. This is, I don't feel safe if this isn't fixed. And all of a sudden, I realized that there was a tie between her request to fix a light and our relationship. Because when I wasn't fixing the light, I wasn't meeting an important need in her life, which was feeling safe. And by me not fixing the light, But strength. And the Bible says God asked Jonah to do something. And when Jonah ran away, what he was really doing was putting strain on his relationship with God. Because he didn't understand that what he was asked to do was tied to his relationship with God. It didn't make sense. It was just a to-do thing. And the reason why it was so important in their relationship was because over here was a large city full of people who were about to be punished by God because of all that they were doing. And Jonah had an opportunity to change that. Now, if you're a parent and you tell your child to do something that will help someone else and they refuse to do it, you will have all kinds of emotions inside you. Frustration, disappointment, discouragement, anger. You can imagine that God felt all of this inside at Jonah running away. So Jonah gets on a ship to flee to Tarshish. And you know that in the middle of that journey, a storm came and he said the only solution is to throw me overboard because God is upset at me. He throws him overboard, and Jonah prays a prayer on the way down to the floor of the ocean. Would you? And God answered his prayer. Chapter 2 is Jonah inside the fish. And he's recalling what happened. And in his prayer, he refers to his earlier prayer as he was going down to the floor of the ocean. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God. He said, in my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From the depths of the grave, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the deep, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled around me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I've been banished from your sight. Yet, I will look again toward your holy temple. In other words, I was about to die, but you have saved me. You've rescued my life. God was putting Jonah in time out. Instead of spanking him, he put him in the belly of a fish for 3 days and 3 nights. Why? Because what do you do in a fish but listen? You're not going to eat. And you're probably not going to sleep much. He had to learn to listen. Part of what is so beautiful about God is this. God wants to walk us to the place where we discover ourselves that we're wrong, rather than have a stick finger in our face and tell us that we're wrong. How many of you respond well when somebody comes up and tells you right off that you're wrong? Are you awake? We don't respond well to that, do we? We respond much better when we discover on our own that we're wrong than when somebody tells us that we're wrong. So here's Jonah, and God starts shaking the seas. And the sailors say, what's wrong? And he said, it's me. I have messed up. And here's the powerful part of all this. It is that God was close enough to Jonah, and you wonder sometimes when you read the story, that he spoke to him and Jonah heard him. And when you read with me through this further, you see they had that kind of relationship. To the roots of the mountains I sank out. I was really headed to the floor of the ocean. The earth, he says, beneath me barred me in forever. I was trapped in the deep. But you brought my life up from the pit, O Lord God. But my life was ebbing away. I was starting to drown. I was fading. I remembered you, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit grace that could be theirs. But I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. And here is what Jonah discovered. Not only did he have to learn to listen, but he had to commit to doing what God asked him to do, even when his heart was not in it. Because when he walked through the city of Nineveh, he was not overly interested in getting those people saved. children, just like you did, that they have to apologize to each other. And do you know how heartfelt their apologies are? And yet I make them do it anyway. And we have this belief that we don't have to do it until our heart is in the right place. If we wait until our kid's heart is in the right place to say they're sorry, how long would we have to wait? We'd still be waiting. We make them do it anyway. Why, as parents, do we make them do it? Because we believe that you do the exercise and you do it until your heart gets there. Right?
Yeah.
Somehow as adults, we flip that on ourselves. And we say we're going to wait until our heart gets there to participate in the exercise. Jonah walked through the city of Nineveh because God asked him to do it. His heart was not there. And folks, there are times when we are called to respond, even when our heart is not there. And you do it. And you have to ask God to move your heart to where your body is, because your body is not carrying your heart at that moment. It just isn't. And what Jonah begins to teach us, he says, what I have vowed, I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord. And the Lord commanded the fish, and it... This is what is so cool about the story. God is the Lord over all creation. Why did the fish get rid of Jonah at that moment? Because God told it to. Here's a hard word for us. Sometimes fish are more responsive to God than we are. That fish vomited the moment God told it to. Did Jonah respond that quickly? No, he did not. Then he did not. Have you ever tried to communicate to somebody in a really bad windstorm? In the middle of a hurricane, you know how hard it is to say even the most basic things to somebody? You have to shout. So how do you hear God in the middle of chaos? Here's a spiritual principle that we have to take from Jonah, and that's this. If you hear God and harden your heart to it, you will hear God less. If you hear God and listen to Him, you will hear God more. And what the people in Scripture began to learn was the way that you heard God in the middle of a storm. Jonah had to wait to the eye of the storm. There was a storm before, there was the fish, and there was a storm after. Metaphorically speaking. He heard God in the eye of the storm because it was so quiet. And sometimes that's what God does. He puts us in timeout and He says, now you listen. I'm just going to give you time to just listen. But the way that you hear God in the middle of a storm is to hear God all along the way in life. And interestingly enough, in the middle of the storm, God's not usually shouting. It's a whisper. It's described as a still, small voice. How do you hear a still, small voice? How many of you, your hearing's gotten better over the years? Isn't that interesting? Spiritually, your hearing can get better. Physically, not so much. There are times when you can't hear a normal voice in life. This is a still, small voice. And when you listen to God regularly, you will continue to hear it. But you have to listen and respond to it. Or you can harden your hearts to the living God. And eventually, you will be two people living in the same area, you and God, but your relationship is no longer really there. God wants to communicate to us in the middle of the storm. He wants to help us. He wants to bless us. But how we respond... respond is tied to our relationship with Him. And listening to Him and responding to Him are key to that. Would you please pray with me? God, we are so blessed by Your goodness and Your mercy. Help us to be open to hearing Your voice inside of us. Help us to tune that in and tune out everything else and to respond to it. Jonah heard You, but he didn't really listen to You. Help us to do that, Father, in Jesus' name.